driving on stormy nights can become so difficult that you may wish you had the eyes of a night creature, like an owl or a tarsier. What's a tarsier? Well, it's like a... Look, it doesn't matter. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades reduce blur and glare, clearing away rain, so you can drive even better than a tarsier, whatever that is. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
Very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Cathy McNamee here with you to talk through all the action from the Women's Super League at the weekend, to look back at what happened and also the end of the January transfer window. I am joined by Scarlett Hearn and Karen Duggan. You're both very welcome to the podcast. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good. You know, we're always very refreshed after a bank holiday.
Of course.
Ever.
Rest, relaxation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No excuse for extra going out activity.
No. Yeah. End of January, the paycheck. Wouldn't encourage you to lose your mind at all.
No. Paying the old rent today was a bit of a pain after the weekend, I won't lie. But we're here now and it's all fine. Guys, we're going to look at the January transfer window in a bit, because obviously that shut up over the weekend. But before we do that, we do have to pay tribute to another international retirement in Julianne Russell. And not just an international retirement, an entire football retirement. And like Karen, obviously you and Julianne are good friends. We have spoken so many times on the podcast over the last year, the kind of spark that she brought to this Irish team, especially when it came to goal scoring, which isn't something that we have had too much of in the last while. But obviously now is the right time for her and her family to make that decision. So disappointing from a fan perspective, but I don't think also as well fans will begrudge her it at all after the many epic moments she's given us over the last year that she came back into the international setup.
Yeah, I mean, she was superhuman to have done what she's done. She essentially left two legacies, because even before she came back, like, she was a top pro for the team and was there doing the work before all the kind of high profile attention. You know, she was part of the teams before the Liberty Hall, and then obviously she went traveling to Australia and came back, had her family, and just completely reignited the kind of feel good factor, I think, around the team after the World Cup and the Vera Pauw stuff. And, you know, she just, I think she inspired a lot of people, not just because she was a mother, but because she came from our league, and you're kind of looking at her and the standards that she's able to reach while balancing motherhood and a husband and a really high profile job at Microsoft. Like, she's just someone that managers can now say, come on, lads, look what she can do. There's certain standards that she's set now that are going to be very, very hard for anyone else to reach, because, like I said, she's a superhuman, and there's very, very few people like her who can apply herself in the way that she did. But it was just lovely that, because she didn't get that retirement kind of the first time around, it was brilliant that she came back, and now we can fully just appreciate it for all that she's done throughout all of the years. Like, I met her under 15 schools, so she's been on the road for a long, long time and keeping those standards for a long time. So it was great to see her kind of get the appreciation that she deserved. And I think it makes sense in terms of just the transition now. Obviously, you're looking at another 2-year cycle and everything that comes with that. And it's a World Cup as opposed to Euros. So it is going to be that little bit harder for them as well. Like, this transition with the likes of Niamh Fahey and stuff leaving as well. So it made sense, and obviously wish her all the best, but it won't be the last we'll hear from her doing something absolutely outrageous and ridiculous. But she's just got so many strings to her bow that that's kind of inevitable as well.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting to see her turn up at like a High Rocks or something soon and doing one of those mad competitions, because Scarlett, her fitness levels is one thing that everyone on the team, even the people who are playing pro over in England, would always refer to. And to do that, as Karen says, after going away, having a baby as well, was so great. But it was also, it felt like a real rejuvenation for the league as well, even though it was someone who was in a more advanced stage of their career, that she was the one bringing the excitement to the national team and she was the one showing up for the league.
Yeah, I think like the sort of public eye really opened its mind to the National League app because of it. Like obviously scoring that goal against England and against France as well just put the league on the map, and like she deserves all the praise for that because she brought that sort of that eye to the league and showed that players from the League of Ireland can compete at that high level. Now obviously she's an exception to that because she had been there and done that and she had had her time in her career, and as Karen said, like the resilience and the sort of determination to come back after having a child and to do what she did was just, it's iconic, and it's something that we don't really see at all, especially not in Ireland. And I was even going to say there when you're talking about what she'll do now, like I wouldn't be surprised if she went and won the Dublin Marathon or something in a few months. Like she's top class, and to do what she's done and then to come and obviously represent Ireland again and perform to the highest quality in Europe was like, it's inspirational for all the players in the League of Ireland and all the Irish players as well to sort of look up and say, if she can do it, who's to say no one else can? So it was really, really inspirational to see, and fair play to her.
I'll have to start like a Julianne Russell bingo card or something for the next while. All the predictions of different places that people expect to see her popping up and what she might achieve. I mean, going to the moon at this stage doesn't seem like that outside a choice, considering everything she has achieved. Obviously, sad from a national side to see another player retiring. It does really feel like a sea change of a moment in terms of leadership within that squad, and also a massive opportunity as well for some of the younger players to step up and prove themselves,
Yeah,
which
I
will
think
be
you're right. I think it
happening.
kind of sparks kind of the discussion about this being a transitionary period again, when you've seen the three kind of big profile names and you hit the nail on the head. It's not just the talent that's leaving, it's the leadership qualities, and where that gap is now plugged, because it can't always be Katie and Denise. And if Louise is injured, who's next in line? Who's coming through? Who's leading the way? Or do we just need that bit of time to allow those leaders to come to the fore? And that could take a couple of years. It's going to be an interesting kind of period. I don't think we can fully predict, because obviously new manager, we have to see what her ideas are and how they perform. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting period for everyone.
Yeah, like it doesn't feel like there's maybe those obvious names. I would have said if maybe they'd had more time to bed into the team, people like Caitlin Hayes and Anna Patton have always been really impressive when speaking to them. And like you obviously have Courtney in there too, who's a bit more established, but also is probably one of the, not on the pitch, but anyways, but off the pitch, one of the quieter characters. So it'd be interesting to see out of all of the ones that are there, do we need more time? It feels like we do, but that's to be seen. And who Carla Ward, I suppose, picks out as well as the person that she can kind of see as becoming that person and becoming that leader. Because there might be someone in there that isn't obvious at all to us from the outside, but actually would be brilliant in that role in general. So we have an international window coming up that we can suss out everything that's happening. Just to look quickly at the transfer window, because it has closed in over in the WSL, and we had Chelsea making that big last minute swoop for Ciara Walsh, stealing her from under the fingertips of Arsenal. Well, not really. We were only in for last year. And then Arsenal signing Chloe Kelly as well in a very last minute deal. And that whole saga with Manchester City souring massively, with her alleging on her Instagram that the club were basically trying to ruin her name and plant stories about her in the media. So it was one of the more dramatic deadline days that I can remember in the WSL.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to see again. Usually we don't see a huge amount happen in the January window. We wait and there's a lot of free transfers at the end. And then Chelsea just said, nah, we're not waiting. Going in big, you know, 1.5 million on players, and on to top quality players as well. So I think fair play. I think we discussed it last week. Chelsea are going to start pulling away if they keep winning these signings. It's up to the others to step up to the race, and where the investment comes from, that remains to be seen. But yeah, they were like marquee signings, really.
Yeah, I mean, Scarlett, in terms of the expectation from this window for, I think a lot of people probably expected Chelsea to put in one big name transfer, two big name transfers in a January window was pretty much unheard of.
Yeah, and I think we spoke about like throughout the year about Chelsea squad depth, and despite like injuries that like Sam Kerr, they still had so many players on the bench and then so many young players coming up to sort of bolster their squad, and you wouldn't even consider them as a team who needed boosting in any way. And for them to go out and get these two massive, massive signings is just sort of the show of how much they want to dominate this league, and obviously want to go dominate in Europe and get that Champions League. But yeah, it's a great move for Ciara Walsh coming back to England. Obviously, probably great for her public profile, because I think as well, going off to Barcelona as well as I know it's a massive club as well, it's an iconic club, but to come back to England where all the eyes are, it's probably a great thing for her, and I'd say she'll love to be back in England as well, living full time. So. And I know us as fans would love to see her more frequently now on our screens. So, it's a big signing, and it's again, it's just that, as Karen said, like a marquee sign, and it's to show how much investment they are willing to put into this to make it work, and it's coming through in their performances and their results.
Yeah, and a couple of moves as well for some of the Irish players, most notably Caitlin Hayes getting that move to Brighton and the WSL. Karen, we were optimistic about Brighton before Christmas, but since then they've had a bit of trouble. But I think this is a good signing for all parties involved.
CarMax knows that finding the right car is all about exploring your options, like the option to shop your way on your schedule. At CarMax, you can browse, compare, and pre-qualify online, then finish up at the store, or simply start on the lot. The choice is yours. Because at CarMax, you're in the driver's seat. Start the search for your next car today at CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The night dark, the rain relentless, and yet you drive safely. Perhaps you have the eyes of a puma piercing the dark, or a bullfrog seeing through the wetness, blurs, and glares. Or could it be your Bosch night performance wiper blades wiping this whole time? So adapted to the dangers of driving on stormy nights, it's almost as if you are too. Night vision has evolved. Bosch night performance wiper blades.
It's certainly a good one for Caitlin Hayes. Obviously, I do think the Scottish League is a step maybe above hers, but only in the top couple of teams. And she's kind of done all she can there. And if she has ambition herself, and with the profile she's made for herself in the last couple of years, getting the WSL move is brilliant for her. And obviously, it's not just a WSL move. Brighton have made moves this year. We were sick of kind of saying they were underperforming last year and they couldn't get things right and injuries really kind of held them back and stuff like that. Whereas this year they went on that like crusade in the first half of the season. It's catching up on them a little bit now, but they still got a much stronger team, and for them to see her as part of that, I think it's a big confidence boost for her. And I think, yeah, it's a fair play to her. I think that's a brilliant move. Like, how many Irish players are we seeing in the top five teams in the WSL? And if she can get into that team, it's massive for the Irish team.
Definitely. Well, Scarlett, you were taking a look at some of the action happening over the weekend, and you have pulled us together your team of the week. So do you want to run through?
Yeah, can do. So in goal, we have Fallon Toulouse-Joyce, right back Jade Riviere, left back Lottie Rubin-Moy, two centre halves Lucy Parker and Grace Fisk, two midfielders of Hanoka Hahashi and Marina Caldente. Left wing, we have Mary Fowler. Right wing, we have Obafunjo. And up front, we have the Everton duo of Tony Payne and Kelly Gagel.
Initially saw Payne there and I was like,
Back up front.
Karen, do you want to pick it apart?
No, I don't want to pick it apart. I want to compliment it. Like, I'd never ever thought we'd see two Everton strikers in a team of the week. Because usually we're saying they don't get enough numbers in the box. They don't like penetrate in attack enough. And to be fair to them, like they actually did. I'd say this is definitely the game where they had most shots on target, and they were very direct with that. And yeah, I was impressed by Gago. I don't know a huge amount about her, but yeah, she was direct. She was a thorn in their side all game. And then it's obviously interesting the balance between Man City players and Arsenal players in the team, because it was always the game that was going to have the most eyes on it, and the you're looking at standout players, and it was just a mental game. Like, there were a lot of players who played well, and then there were a lot of players who played really, really badly, and it made for such an exciting game. Ruben
It
Moi
lived up to
obviously
all the
getting in
hype that we
there.
hoped the
Yeah,
Chelsea
Ruben Moi
game would
getting in there
have.
because her header was so brave. She got absolutely clattered for it. But I think the Arsenal defence contributed to a lot of the carry on of it, to be honest. But yeah, really good. Obviously, Man United point of view, Riviere just the speed and pace I think she showed in that game, and she's kind of coming into her own. Obviously, new contract there. I think that's clever as well at United, and Tulis Joyce becoming like just part of a really, really solid defense. And it looks like she's making easy saves, but then you're looking at Man City and Ciara Heaton, and they're giving away goals and they're gifting goals, and just the importance of having that stable person there is really, really helpful. So yeah, very, very good team.
Scarlett, who were the standout performers for you?
Something I think Lucy Parker did really well. Obviously they didn't get the result they wanted, but I think defensively Villa were really, really solid. Chelsea really struggled to break them down, and in the end it was an unfortunate own goal. It was a great run and great ball in, but I suppose if you get your foot under it, it can go over the bar, and it's a goal line clearance really, but it was just unlucky that it went into the net. So I think they had a really valiant effort at trying to hold Chelsea, and I think she was a big part of that. I thought she was brilliant, like just sort of clearing, lots of clearances, interceptions, and I think she had like a bit of a goal line clearance herself as well. So yeah, I thought she was really good. And then obviously Kel Dente, I thought her ball in for the Manham goal was great. It was kind of one of them, sort of facing the opposite way, and that invisible sort of pass inside where the Man City defence is all sort of facing the ball, and then it just gets slipped in, and it's a great ball. And obviously gets the goal really early as well, which sort of set Arsenal on their way. So yeah, and obviously the two up front, the two Everton girls, as Karen already spoke about them, I thought that their pace together is electric, and they both caused so many problems at the weekend. And I think as well for Gago, it's a great signing for Everton. She came from Nates in the window, so she's obviously taken the league by a bit of a storm. She scored a goal as well, I think, 2 weeks ago in one of her first games. So really exciting that Everton finally maybe got that goal scoring player that they've been looking for all season. And obviously Tony Payne as well contributing. So overall, yeah, it was great. It's great, as Karen said again, to get so many Everton players in there. Something that we don't really see that often, apart from Courtney maybe in goal. But yeah, overall, great win for Everton.
Yeah, just pick up on what you said about Kel Dente. I just thought she was like really, really industrious as well, and how she was tracking back and kind of helping out on that aspect of things, and it helped her press was really present. And I think that was something that Arsenal really lacked against Chelsea. We kind of like ribbed them for their lack of ambition. I thought they showed a lot more of that today, and I think she was really good at leading the line there. It's not always something you'd expect for someone coming from, the Spanish teams to have that kind of grit and drive in her, but I think she was really, really good at doing that and helped them to be out that mental game.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for pulling that together, Scarlett. And we gave you all the homework for the bank holiday weekend. Well, myself and Karen just sat back and watched the football. But you also took a look at one of the games from a tactical perspective, and there probably only was one option, and that was, of course, City Arsenal. And specifically, you were looking at the defensive setup from the City side.
What defense?
Yeah, I am. It's just so poor, and we talked about it briefly last week, and we were sort of talking about, is it a mental element? Is it is it an issue with the management or is it the players or what was sort of their problem? But I think on the weekend it became really clear that it is a defensive issue, because I think that the confidence in your team stems from your defense and how strong it is. And I think there's a lack of I think there's an over trust in the players to play out, because it was consistent Alexandri trying to play out in the back. Keating always trying to play the short pass, and I just thought, like, you're kind of asking for it at that stage, because obviously the goal, that Alexandri mistake comes so early on, and they're so persistent with it, and then Keating comes out for the cross, misses it. That's sort of one that you can let pass by, but the amount of chances are City coughed up from just trying to play out from their own back line, I thought just wasn't really good enough from their standards. And I think if you're in that situation, obviously they want to be a ball playing team, but even if you're in control of the game but you're coughing up mistakes from your centre half, so your full back's giving away the ball, then you just need to go along and sort of get the confidence in those players back. So, like, Alexandri had a really iffy game, and I think she just needed to sort of calm herself maybe by playing a few long balls into the channels. Like, you're giving a ball to Mary Fowler, it's not as if she's not going to get onto it. Like, she's one of the quickest players in the league. You can clip a few over to her and turn the Arsenal defence, put them under a bit of pressure, because I think every time they tried to play out, they were asking for trouble. And I
Yeah, I
actually went
think,
back. Sorry, go on.
yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I think you're right there. But like Alexandri was shaky and her teammates didn't help her out. I thought Kasperi was too high. Like, I get trying to break lines and stuff like that, but sometimes you just need to take the extra pass around the back line and then try and break the line, because it what they were. They weren't allowing Roar to get or Hasegawa to get in a good passing line, you know, by so it was like center half and then they had to break a line, whereas they needed a couple more passes and she just couldn't get her head up in time because the press was good. And like you say, if you are having an iffy game like that, you either need to go long or you need your teammates to come really, really short and do some safe passes because it's in your head then. So I don't know if that was a tactical thing that they wanted the fullbacks breaking lines and they wanted everyone breaking lines, but sometimes it's just ended up Hasegawa getting kind of a ball with two midfielders coming in on her. It was very, very difficult for her.
Yeah, just looking back at their past games and the goals this year, they've conceded 18 goals in the league this year, which isn't great given their standards. I know obviously they put a few high scoring ones, like four against Arsenal and four a few weeks ago against United. But the amount of sloppy goals they concede for a team like City, I just thought was like astonishing, to be honest. So the two mistakes from purely playing out, which is testament to the weekend, four goals are just really poor defending. Like, sort of swiping at balls, defending mistakes, like you're seeing Alexandri. And then another two are goalkeeping mistakes, which is looking back to the United game. And then we have an own goal as well in there. So that's six or seven goals that are easily preventable. And I think the weekend should nearly give them a bit of a shock and say, right, okay, we need to think differently about this. When we're playing a team that will punish us, like Arsenal did and like Manchester United did, you really have to think about how committed you are to the playing out at all times. There's no issue with going direct a few times, try get the ball over, turn Arsenal, take the game to them. But when you're playing out, you're putting yourself under constant pressure. Obviously, Arsenal had their press nailed to a T, sort of their critical points for press, and they had them nailed. Bad touch, Alexandri, and Arsenal are in pressing her and get a goal out of it. So I think that's something that City need to look at if they're serious about
Yes, a
competing.
bit mad when you look at it now, because I would have looked at Arsenal and kind of thought, God, they've looked a little bit more vulnerable than they should at times. And yet City are the ones that have conceded double the amount of goals to Arsenal. So that's pretty damning, I would say, because I wasn't like overly impressed by how Arsenal have been doing. And then for City to be twice as bad as it's Yeah, it's pretty sobering when you look at it, because we were also looking forward to what City could do this season when they were playing such good football at the start of the season, going on such a good win and run. The last five games are they've fallen off the pace in a big way. And like you say, it's a lot of their own doing.
How much of all that, though, is down to Alex Greenwood and missing her, what's it, four or five games probably now that she has missed? And she was also, Scarlett, you point out about them trying to play out from the back. She was always pretty crucial to that whenever they were doing it before Christmas. And I think in the games that she's missed, that's where they've shipped and lost most of those goals. So it's like a very obvious cog that they need to I don't know, plug the gap for. I'm not sure how long she's out for, if it's much longer, but.
Yeah, like that was obviously a huge loss when it happened, and City have had a few injuries this year. But I did think that when that came in, I thought she did really well against United. I know that obviously had a few issues that game as well, but I kind of thought that that would solve a few of the problems, but it hasn't really seemed to. And like, you do feel sorry for Alexandra, like she's their captain at the minute, like, and for her to be, I think, performing under par a lot this season, like she did at the weekend, isn't good for like the team at all as well. Because if your captain's head's dropping, then you're looking around going, hey, okay, who's gonna take leadership of this? Like we're in a moment of crisis at the minute, and who's gonna step up and say, right, we need to sort this. Like it doesn't even have to be from the sidelines, and doesn't have to come from Gareth Taylor. It could be a player-led thing to go, right, we need to settle this game, or we need to go long, or we need to play straight to our wingers, or someone needs to come deep, and as Karen said, and drop into the space and collect the ball to stop this from happening. And I'm just looking here. Leicester City have only conceded one more goal than sorry, Leicester City have only conceded one more goal than Manchester City this year, which I think is bonkers, considering that Leicester
Bonkers.
11th.
Yeah, I think bonkers probably is the only proper word for it. They also had a big defeat, obviously, to Everton at the weekend. For City and Leicester just didn't do very well against Arsenal or Everton in both the men's and the women's games. They were both massive, massive scoring. To look at Arsenal a little bit in that game and go on to some of the other games then in a second. I mean, Karen, you were kind of right when you said that this game was chaotic, but in the best way as a spectator, because it was entertaining, but there wasn't necessarily any clear and well-produced tactical displays from either side.
No, Arsenal were very lucky that City gifted them those goals in the first half because it gave City an uphill battle. After the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought that City were brilliant towards the end of the second half. I thought they were completely outplaying Arsenal. And then the balance shifted again. Obviously City were given a penalty that wasn't a penalty. And to be fair to Arsenal, they came back at it. But again, if you've scored in the 50th minute to concede in the 51st minute, that's just completely damning on Man City. So I think it was more so a game where you're looking at the flaws and the weaknesses of both sides. Even though it was a 4-3, you'd think, wow, it was this really free-flowing, attack-minded game. And it was attack-minded because the defenses were so poor. I mean, like you say, can you think of times where Arsenal did something brilliant to create? I think Manham's goal was good.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only
Like Beth Mead
few.
was pretty quiet. Russo was stuck on the left a lot.
It felt more like they
Russo was
were
really
out
lost.
waiting for an opportunity for a City to mess up, and
And
then
they
they,
took them, which was
yeah.
really good. Obviously, they were clinical, but City just blowing it. Yeah, I just was like, what is going on? Because really, we should have been talking about Cugino and Mary Fowler, because I thought that they were really, really excellent. And like it was going to be all about Man City's attack, but really now we're just concentrating on the defense, which is wild. But it was good, it was entertaining. I'd been out the night before, so it kind of actually kept my attention.
You needed that to help
Yeah,
you.
it did.
Yeah. Well, compared to some of the other games over the weekend, like United Tottenham, Jesus, I won't lie, I didn't make it to the end.
It was all about the win. It was all about the win. That's all we need to
I
say.
think after the first 10 minutes, I don't know if there was much point in watching the rest of it. And I saw quite a few people commenting online saying similar that it felt like a little bit of a waste of time to
Yeah,
watch.
it was one of those games where you felt like United should kick on and should get more goals, and they had a couple of chances and they didn't take them, and they let themselves get a little bit nervous then. Spurs created a couple of chances. I do think United were that marginally the better team in the game, but like that's one thing that let them down last year was not capitalizing on the games where they are in top, and they'd kind of gotten away from that in the last few games. So I think they just need to be wary of it. But yeah, I think Spurs just didn't quite have it in attack to punish United when they did have those lapses.
Yeah, and it's something we've kind of become accustomed to seeing is Tirland getting those goals against Spurs.
It's
I
a
think
great goal.
they're sixth or
Great goal.
something.
That technique
Yeah.
is really hard. Yeah, I really rate her. Just the power to get across her defender, and get the contact on it that she did. Really good goal by her. So, and it's good for her, you know, like strikers need goals, confidence to grow, and I think she's really important to the team. I think she was great signing.
Yeah. Pure instinct, I think, is kind of when you're looking at her doing like skill, obviously to be able to put it off, but instinct to in that moment say, I'm going to go for this and I know that I can. Scarlett, you may be accused of anti-Irishness in that Leanne Kiernan has had two goals in the last while. Admittedly, one not coming in the league, but.
Yeah, I actually, it's what, two goals in four games against West Ham. So, no, I know it was difficult not to put her in, I have to say, but I think the Everton Joe kind of, oh, they just. Here, it's Everton pity, let's be real. Leanne, are, we'll put Leanne in, we'll put Leanne in. But yeah, I
Retrospectively,
thought,
we'll give her a shout.
yeah, I know, it's brilliant to see from her, like, and obviously to get the start as well. I know she's kind of been in and out of teams and coming on with maybe 30 minutes to go trying to be an impact. But for her to get the start, I think was really important. And obviously to capitalize on it and get a goal will be great for her and her confidence. And obviously to get a bit of momentum in her performances and her play would be great as well. So yeah, it's great. And in terms of West Ham, I thought they were actually quite decent. They created a good few chances. I think Martinez is really good. I'm really impressed by her, just her pace and her ability to get at defenders. Caused Liverpool a lot of problems, but Liverpool did defend well. And yeah, I think probably were deserving of their win, but West Ham really did push. And I think that Martinez will be really important for them going forward as well.
Yeah, you'd like to see West Ham push on a bit because you do look at them sometimes and you think, God, she's a really good player. She's a really good player. It's just like giving away goals. But I do just for on Liverpool, they were better this week than they had been in the previous weeks. I thought that for Leanne, I think playing up front with another player like Smith is helpful. I think it allows her to stay higher and actually impact the game where she's not expected to just run from the halfway line against, you know, three defenders. So I think that that was good. I think they played higher up the pitch. They pressed more aggressively, and I think that kind of suited them. So hopefully that's something for them to kick on from, because like I say, we have been disappointed with them up to this, but they were definitely a marked improvement what we've seen in the last few weeks.
It's also a positive for us going into an Ireland camp in that generally when Leanne starts scoring goals, if she can get consistency and momentum in her playing time, the goals do tend to come. You look at Liverpool's promotional season, 13 goals, and that was a pretty injury-free run for her. Obviously, last season was very disrupted, but she still got half that tally. So if she can manage to stay fit in this side of the season, hopefully it will be a big one for her.
Also, I suppose we have to mention Caruso as well, getting reinstated. Yeah, so like that was important for us as well, making sure that she was playing at a really high level, because like you say, we're not blessed with attacking talent, especially with Jesus still out, Julian now retired. You know, there's gaps there, and those two are, it's very important that we have them both fit and playing.
Yeah, and developing that sort of partnership as well, because we obviously rarely get any success at all from just playing one person up top, and generally that just ends up in them running all over the place. So if players can have that experience of someone else that they're kind of battling off, then it'll definitely be helpful on an international perspective as well. Scarlett, we've talked a little bit about it obviously already, but that massive win for Everton. They've been on a decent run. We saw Heather Payne getting a goal as well last week during the week, which we obviously love to see. And you would say as well that they probably had one of the better transfer windows out of everyone. I know the Friedkin Group coming in was probably pretty made this window pretty crucial for them. But you look at like Maren Meld being announced. They got in Hayley Ladd, who, yes, was struggling for game time with United, but also is a very consistent, experienced player. Gago, we've already talked about. And then they also had Emma Watson, who's already had a very big impact for them. Now, balance all that out with Meg Finnegan, their captain, doing her ACL and another ACL in Everton seems absolutely astounding, even with the general crisis in the game. So
But they were
it
left
shows.
so tight panel-wise last year when they had injuries. So all of those players, just body-wise and training-wise, make such a difference as well. And I think fair play to them again. Everton needed that. They needed that big time. And I think it'll bring a freshness to them, hopefully, as well. Like, obviously, there's going to be more competition for places. That spurs people on, even if you're kind of struggling, as a group. Now you're also saying, oh, well, my place might be at risk. So it just forces everyone to think a little bit more, and it could be the thing that they need.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to promote that competition and also getting, I mean, just even starting the year back with like a nice big result, Scarlett, even though it is against Leicester, who are struggling a little bit, that confidence will do wonders for them over the next while.
Definitely, yeah. And Karen's right about the competition for places. I think that's something that can settle into a team, even if you're not winning. A manager with a team like that who are sort of lacking a bit of squad depth doesn't really have an option to change the team. But yeah, I think the signings coming in are really, really positive. Obviously, you have a few girls who are kind of coming in, like Emma Watson, who have suffered of injuries in the past. So you just hope that that doesn't follow them there and they can get a few minutes. So for the likes of Emma Watson, who's a young player coming in, I think it's a really good move. And obviously Gago coming in as well. We've already spoken about her, but I think if she can perform like that, 1 week out of two, you're looking at a massive pickup in form and a bit of electricity to Everton, and that is exactly what they've been lacking. Like we spoke about it so much about them lacking the sort of players to go forward, and obviously that dependence on the defence is still going to be there. They're going to need to strengthen up, and they're going to need to tighten up that ship there at the back to prevent sort of those losses, those big losses, and to prevent maybe a team coming back at them like the likes of Leicester, getting a goal back for really, really poor defending. And the game could kind of go either way at that point. Like that was to make it 1-1. So they were just lucky, fortunate on the day that they got the goals again then early after that. But yeah, I think if you're looking at, you need to look at tightening up that defence. But I think it's really positive from Everton if they can push on
Yeah.
from there then.
Those players are going to have a bit of a baptism of fire. I think that result was really important because I'm just looking at the fixtures here now. Chelsea in the cup, Chelsea in the league, Everton away, Arsenal. But that's nearly a good thing. It's going to get all those players up to a certain speed. And then they play Crystal Palace on the 22nd. And I think Everton only need more realistically, if even, to feel very safe. So they can use those games to really, I think, with an eye on making sure they get a win against Crystal Palace at home in March.
Mentioning Crystal Palace there, really important result for them against Brighton over the weekend because it just kind of keeps them in touch with Leicester in that there is only one good result in between them there. Now, the goal difference is significant enough, but in terms of the points, Leicester on 9, sorry, Crystal Palace on 6. And another disappointing enough result for Brighton. I mean, you look at that kind of top five, and out of everyone, they've And then their last five games, three losses, two draws. City actually kind of coming close to them with three losses, but they also have the two wins, which is keeping them that little bit ahead. Again, Scarlett, it's just the ambition that we keep seeing from this Crystal Palace team, and not always getting the results that they deserve, but they're not shipping in the goals maybe necessarily like a City or a Leicester have been the last while.
Yeah, I think it's really positive. Obviously, in the first half, they just sort of weren't there at all. I thought Brighton controlled it, but then obviously that second half, you get an early red card for Brighton, and the game switches. Obviously, Amy Everett had to come off because of it, so hopefully she's all right. But I think for Crystal Palace there in that moment to sort of take control and to say, right, we're going to push for this. This is a game that we can sort of take advantage of this now and go for this and try to get something out of it. And to be fair to them, they did. They actually, I thought they could have got a winner as well later on, but it was kind of the last few minutes were all helter skelter. It was, you'd think a winner that late on and the game kind of dies out, but both teams had chances then to win it in the last few minutes, which was really good from both sides, I think, to have that sort of desire and to create the opportunities. at the end there to try and get a winner. But yeah, I think it's a really important result for Palace. And as we say again, try build a bit of momentum. I know Brighton aren't in the best run of form at the minute, but I think Palace will even be looking at that Everton game now coming up, as you say, Karen, in March, and saying, right, we need to look at this and get it as a 3 points to push up towards Leicester, and hopefully for them to get out of the zone, the relegation zone.
Definitely. And then finally for the weekend, we had Chelsea just seeing themselves past Aston Villa, needing a bit of a diverted shot late on in the game there. We did get to see Ciara Walsh making her Chelsea debut, with still probably bigger and better things to come from her. It was a relatively short thing, but it did look like for a short time, Karen, that maybe Aston Villa were actually going to stop Chelsea's running streak of scoring goals and winning games.
Yeah, probably the poorest display we've seen from Chelsea in a while. I think the fans obviously weren't used to seeing them playing poorly, because you saw Millie Bright reacting to a bit of criticism that she received from her home support, which obviously you don't like to see. But they find a way to win in the end. Again, Villa had a couple of chances. Hannah Hampton, she nearly gifted them one, but then she got her fingertips to one in the second half. That was really, really important. Because I think if they'd gotten the goal ahead, Villa would have held out. Because, like you say, they had a really good defensive display. Parker and Patton, like you say, really, really good. And again, you're looking at Villa's position in the table, and you're just saying they shouldn't be there because they can compete with all these big teams. They're just one step off all the time, which is really worrying position for them to be in, considering the talent that they have. I think that defensive display should be what they go back to, though. When they look at this, they need to say, okay, this is what we're able to do against a top team, albeit an underperforming top team with loads of attacking threat. We nullified them, go back to basics and make sure they start getting more points, even if it's in terms of getting draws. They don't always have to be, I know they want to play good, attractive football, but in the position of the league that they're in, they need to draw it back a little bit. And then, as for Chelsea, things aren't going right. You can just bring loads of talent off the bench, can't you? And then Nick Ramirez, they miss one tackle on Ramirez and she's gone down the line. I've never seen a more powerful runner with the ball than her. Great ball in. They absolutely would have scored. I think it was the centre mid was coming in for Chelsea at that point. They would have scored if it wasn't an own goal. So Chelsea doing what Chelsea do.
Part of me is almost just excited for the Champions League to come back properly and see what Chelsea do, because I feel, not that I've lost interest in the league, because obviously they are so talented and they have so many good players, but I do want to see what they're like against strong European opposition, because that's always been the thing that has tripped them up before, whether it's, Barcelona and the amount of times over the last few years that they've knocked them out, or even that year that they were knocked out in the group stages. I think that's going to be the real test of this team. And even if they steamroll all the way to the final, it's going to, a big performance in that final is really is what's going to dictate whether this Chelsea team has actually moved on from Emma Hayes, no matter how many records Sonia Bonpaster manages to break in the league itself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, for me, they know they have this one. It's all about Champions League now. And yeah, finding the way to do that. It's interesting now. I'm kind of like, are Chelsea as good as Barcelona? Like I would always say, you're right, the WSL is the strongest league, but Barcelona are the strongest team. But maybe that tide is shifting just with the couple of signings that they do have. And if Sam Kerr was back, it'd be very, very interesting to see. I want that to be the matchup again. I know it might be boring, but like when you're looking at how Chelsea are doing and what they're investing, it's obviously for this purpose. And Barcelona being so dominant in that Champions League sphere, I think I just want to see it again.
It's totally fair. I mean, I think a lot of people would be interested, especially now with taking someone like Ciara Walsh off Barcelona. That adds an extra level of interest to it. Karen Scarlett, thank you very much, as always. We will be on a break this weekend because it is actually an FA Cup weekend. But after that, we will be back with the WSL and also all the build-up to the international window, which is fast approaching around the corner. The Koi Gig Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. But for now, thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you all soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Driving on stormy nights can become so difficult that you may wish you had the eyes of a night creature, like an owl or a tarsier. What's a tarsier? Well, it's like a... Look, it doesn't matter. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades reduce blur and glare, clearing away rain so you can drive even better than a tarsier, whatever that is. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades.